We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to bring in a guy of some pretty elite caliber. My good buddy David Lombardi, doing a great job covering the 49ers and so many other areas in the world of sports for The Athletic. And now he joins us on 95.7 The Game. David, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Doing great. Congratulations on the new job.
Appreciate it, man. Having a lot of fun just stretching out. Show number one solo. Got to hang out with John Dickinson yesterday and today. 8 to noon, 4 hours of solo Covey. Lucky people in the Bay Area. Let me ask you this. What'd you take away from Antonio Brown's little Q&A with Steelers fans on Twitter yesterday? I just think he's not doing himself any favors right now.
Some of his answers didn't even make sense.
Right,
like they, you know, he just didn't answer some of the questions just straight up. So, here's the overarching thing with Antonio Brown, and it's been this way, I think, throughout the whole saga, is that he's fundamentally, probably intentionally, misrepresenting the dynamics of this situation. It's not up to Antonio Brown where Antonio Brown plays next year.
Right.
He's not a free agent looking to sign with another team. This is the case where the Steelers control his rights, and if they want to trade him somewhere, which you know they probably do if they don't want a disgruntled player there. But I mean, this is all up to where the Steelers decide to trade Antonio Brown to. This is not an Earl Thomas situation where Earl Thomas is going to pick where he plays next year. So that's what people have to remember.
Sure.
Is that this is not, you know, let's pick one of the 32 teams and go with it. This is where the Steelers can find a trade partner.
Yeah, 100%. And the reason why it's so intriguing with the 49ers is, A, he, you know, superimposed a picture of him wearing a 49er jersey. And clearly, and let me ask you this, Dave, this is kind of a big picture question. It seems to me like the word is out in the NFL that things are being run differently here in San Francisco under John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and it's headed in the right direction. I'm not going to invoke the winning with class moniker by any stretch, but it just seems to me, because players talk and you know, it's known how different organizations treat players, and it seems to me like if nothing else, the last couple of years, the 49ers have made some headway in that respect.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a league, and this ties into the Antonio Brown situation. It's a league that relies so much on what you have at play caller and at quarterback, and I think there's a sense around the league that the 49ers have both in Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, and I think that there was some on-field evidence that they had both, and they had both effectively in December of the previous season. 2017. The problem is, obviously, Garoppolo only lasted a couple weeks in 2018, so everything was kind of put on hold. But I think that the league in general recognizes that the 49ers have two very important components in place. And with the Antonio Brown situation in Pittsburgh, he's obviously not getting along with Ben Roethlisberger, and that's another example of the quarterback situation being extremely important. If that quarterback is making good connections with his receivers and right. with his play caller, then things are likely to be sitting pretty there. And if there's unrest in those relationships, it's probably going to be, you know, greater unrest there within the franchise. And that's why Antonio Brown right now, not happy in Pittsburgh. So I think players and people around the NFL view the 49ers as a pretty harmonious place. And they think that, if everybody's healthy, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo's healthy, that team can make some noise, as was the case in December of 2017. So that's the prevailing thought around the league right now. That's why players are interested in the 49ers. It'll either be proven right or it'll be proven wrong in 2019. The problem is that throughout 2019, we didn't have a chance to prove it right or wrong because guys were on injured reserve.
Yeah, and just as soon as Garoppolo went down, so did any hopes of making that marked progress in 2018 for the 49ers. Talking to David Lombardi of The Athletic on 95.7 The Game, Ryan Covey with you at Lombardi himself on Twitter. Let me ask you about Earl Thomas. I mean, it didn't end well for him last year, the vision of him flipping off the sidelines as he's carted off the field. But here's a guy that that clearly knows this defense. And I think you don't want to sign him to a five-year deal or anything like that, but I think for a couple of seasons could be a real difference maker in an area where the 49ers have a need. How aggressively should they be pursuing this guy, David?
Well, as soon as I saw him flipping off the sideline, the Seahawks sideline, I tweeted it last year. It said 49ers need to sign Earl Thomas to the same exact deal that they signed Richard Sherman to. I mean, it may be a slightly more guaranteed money because Earl Thomas is not coming off an Achilles injury. So just a straight-up broken leg is something that you have, I think a better chance of recovering from, even though I think Sherman has done fine with the Achilles, obviously. But look at the parallels. Same exact age, right, at the time of this injury. Mm-hmm. Earl Thomas will be heading into the age 30 season, just as Richard Sherman was. They both suffered those season-ending injuries that led to bitter divorces from the Seahawks on the same field at Arizona, at University of Phoenix Stadium, or whatever they call it now, in Glendale. And, of course, they're both from that Legion of Boom that runs the cover three that the 49ers are so desperately trying to add a good pass defense to. You know, they're running the same scheme, but the 49ers really struggled in the secondary last year. So you bring in Earl Thomas, give him a three-year deal. You keep Adrian Colbert, a guy who overperformed as a rookie and then underperformed in his sophomore season, so it's kind of that second-year slump. I think it's ideal for the 49ers and for Adrian Colbert, who, you know, if you want to continue going down the path of parallels, was developed by the same DB coach in college in Dwayne Aquina in Texas. So Adrian Colbert was a guy who learned that single high safety for the cover three defense in college from the same guy who coached Thomas. So why not have Thomas come and help Adrian Colbert for a couple of years before he retires or before he gets too old to play for the 49ers? And I think that's a great short-term solution to make the defense immediately better. And it's also a great way to pave the way for long-term success in the 49ers secondary.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What's Akilah Witherspoon's future with the 49ers look like at this point?
I think that he was a little bit better toward the end of 2018 than he was at the start of it. There were a lot of issues early in the year. I think that he was another great example of a sophomore slump in that secondary, which is why if you looked at the advanced numbers, the 49ers were dead last in the NFL in pass defense to anybody against any corner or any safety not named Richard Sherman. So all the throws toward Sherman, and there weren't a lot of them, were well-defensed. Everything else was hold-your-breath time, and Witherspoon was obviously part of that problem. I thought that he played well at times and got beat by perfect plays. I think a great example of that was week one against Minnesota when I think it was Diggs who made that catch from Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Blanket coverage, but perfect throw, perfect catch. That's the NFL. You just got to tip your cap and move on. But I think that the plays like that kind of hurt his confidence a little bit in that second year because he really did play well then the first year. And so some fans were after his head. I think it was Dante Whitner, actually, who made the big Instagram story just roasting Witherspoon for poor technique, lazy technique on some plays. But he was able to tighten that up by the end of the year, and then he got hurt. So he's very much a jury is still out guy, just like a lot of these guys entering year three for the 49ers, like Earl Thomas. Adrian Colbert.
I got you. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why this Earl Thomas talk is so rampant for the 49ers, because they got these unproven players like Colbert. Why not bring in a veteran to help shepherd him along? Hey, maybe that happens to cornerback too, although I can't really think of a name there for Witherspoon. So I think that Witherspoon will be the starter next year, and I think that they're going to hope that they see more of the good than of the bad in 2019.
Yeah, and this is such a critical year for Kyle Shanahan. I mean, year three of any regime, but especially this one in particular. And that's why last year what happened with Garoppolo is just so unfortunate, because they missed out on, you know, basically what was playing with house's money and a chance to build that continuity. And instead, now they know they've got a pretty solid backup, and that's about it. Number two overall pick, should they be looking to trade back, especially if it doesn't look like, if it looks like Bosa's going to go number one, which all indications are he will, maybe somebody comes comes in at the 11th hour and moves up. We'll see how this quarterback shuffle shapes up. I know this is a very thin draft as far as quarterbacks, but I also know this is a very deep draft as far as defensive players, which it would seem the 49ers have a needed edge rush probably at the top of that list. If they don't need to spend the number two overall pick to get an impact player and they could get him a little bit later on, shouldn't they be looking to maybe move back and acquire some more picks?
Yeah, I mean, if that condition is true, what you said, if they don't need to spend that pick to get the impact player, if there are more impact players to be found later, which it's starting to seem that it is the case of this draft. Obviously, we haven't seen them test out of the combine yet, but I do think it's very possible that we have an extremely deep draft of impact defensive players. If that's the case, then the 49ers should absolutely consider trading back, because they're in the position of needing a lot of bodies on the defensive end. You could say, yeah, an edge here and a free safety there fixes everything. It fixes a lot. But I still think that depth-wise and just, from the overall talent accumulation standpoint, this defense can use a number of bodies. And they don't have that many draft picks. I think they only have 5 draft picks. So it's one of those situations where trading and getting more, quality quantity, though. You don't just want quantity. You have to make sure there's quality there. Would be really beneficial for this team. And that, it all ties together. That goes back to the whole Antonio Brown thing. That's why, obviously no team has made a deal yet, but I think everybody was wondering, well, what's taking the 49ers so long? Why did they offer a package the Steelers would like? And it's because of this, because I think the 49ers are decently confident with what they have on offense if they have their quarterback in place, even with their receiving core, and they would rather save that draft capital for stocking up on defense, because they know that this draft is promising. And the minute you start giving up picks for receivers over the age of 30, that's when you really start weakening your prospects in this upcoming draft for the defensive side.
Last one I want to ask you quickly, David, at what point does Kyle Shanahan's seat start to get a little warm?
I mean, this 2019 was always the year in the 6-year plan when you view it within that context where you were going to have to start seeing some results. Like, no matter what happened here the first 2 years, unless it was, back-to-back 1-15 seasons and there was absolutely no reason for hope moving forward. They hadn't signed a quarterback or drafted a quarterback yet, something like that. No matter what happened outside of that disastrous scenario, he was not going to be on the hot seat for the first 2 years. I mean,
right.
He signed a 6-year contract after, several tries of, implosions at the coaching level for the 49ers. They had a couple guys in there for just 1 year after Jim Harbaugh, and Jed York sat down and said, I want to do this right. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to give these guys a 6-year contract. I'm not going to just pull the trigger on these guys after one season. And that was his mentality when Shanahan came in, and it was going to take something extremely drastic for that to change. And something that drastic didn't happen. In fact, the 49ers exceeded expectations in year one because they were able to get Jimmy Garoppolo unexpectedly about halfway through the season, and then they were able to finish 5-0. So right. That basically cushioned Shanahan and Lynch from anything happening until 2019, right? And we just kind of had to wait it out last year with all the injuries, and now that year is upon us. Now they have to start to show real tangible progress, because if they don't in 2019, that's when this talk becomes legitimate.
No doubt. All right. Hey, David, man, really appreciate the time on a Sunday morning. Keep up the great work on The Athletic, and we'll talk to you soon, brother, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Have fun at 95.7.
Awesome. Good stuff. David Lombardi, good buddy of mine, and I really appreciate him coming on. He's got a great perspective, too, and a brilliant writer, and definitely appreciate him coming on. All right. We will come back. We got more for you in store, including a segment that I just got to bring on to 95.7 The Game, backed by popular demand. Oh, yeah, we'll puff and we'll pass, and we'll do it next.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
It's like my parents' jam right here with the modern inflection on it, no doubt. Everything's got to get remixed. I'm getting remixed. Ryan Covey with you. This is 95.7 The Game. Hope everybody's having a nice, lovely Sunday sojourn around the Bay Area. Looks like the sun's peeking out. As my good friend Libby used to say, the sun is on beam. Well, it's not quite on beam yet, but we're hoping that it gets there today. That's a millennial phrase. You'll catch up out there. I'm here to help. No, nobody says that? All right. I say it. You know what? I say it. And I'm not a millennial, but I'm saying it. Lucas on the other side of the glass says no chance. And by the way, Lucas will have a very special moment here coming up in about 8 minutes as I bring Puff Puff Pass to the 95.7 The Game airways. It's basically buy or sell, but it's our own little version of it. And I'm looking forward to bringing that back by popular demand. And by the way, lots of folks checking in on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. And I do appreciate that. How about this? 510. You know who hasn't said a single word about the 49ers being interested in Antonio Brown? The 49ers! Lynch, York, and Shanahan haven't given a minute of their time to it. To me, they know he'd kill their locker room. Well, I don't know about kill their locker room, but you definitely would need to check in with the leadership of your team and, most importantly, check in with Antonio Brown. And as David Lombardi alluded to, this isn't a free agent conversation we're having here. This is a guy that has demanded a trade, and that's a whole different ball of wax because the Pittsburgh Steelers financially have a huge commitment to Antonio Brown. He's due a $2.5 million roster bonus here in a couple of weeks. He's going to be 31 on July 10th. And as far as his contract goes, he's got no guaranteed money left, but he's due $12.6 million this year, $11.3 in 2020, and $12.5 in 2021. Now, since he's got no guaranteed money left, trading Brown after June 1st would allow Pittsburgh to at least spread out his cap hit over multiple years. It'd be 9.5 in 2019 and 14.8 in 2020, as he's got a huge amount of money still due to him, and they would absorb a $21.1 million hit to their salary cap in dead money. And if they trade him after March 17th, after that $2.5 million roster bonus is due, that would rise to $23.6 million. So obviously huge financial ramifications for Antonio Brown. And really, if you're the 49ers, I misspoke earlier. I said the 49ers have a second round pick this year. That was actually last year for the Garoppolo trade. They do have their second round pick this year. Also, different text from the 510. Said he's worse than Randy Moss, T.O. and Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin together. He'll get Shanahan and Lynch fired. Let's see. AB would wreck the growth of this rebuild that's still 1 or 2 years away. He just stated in the tweet, he quoted, it's all about AB now. I think there's something to that. And where is Antonio Brown's head at? Can he be a good citizen? Can he be a good teammate? And see, the thing is, what kind of disappointed me about Antonio Brown, a guy that, you know, in fantasy football circles, I loved watching for years and always wanted him on my squad. I mean, 6 straight years of 100 catches. But he kind of went off the reservation the last few years. And then he ended up being in the diva receiver category. And look, man, if you're a 31-year-old wideout with that kind of a cap hit, you either better be bringing, like, elite-level production. I'm talking, you know, 120 catches, 1,500 yards, and, you know, 13 tugs every year. Otherwise, you got to simmer down a little bit. In the immortal words of Pootie Tang, you got to sa-da-te just a little bit. Oh, yeah, I'll drop some Pootie Tang on you at 11:24 on your Sunday morning as you're out rolling around. 707, I think AB might be hurting his trade value to stick it to Pittsburgh on his way out. The media there is definitely sticking it to him. Well, yeah, and it's always interesting the relationship between athletes and media members to that end, because especially the beat writers that cover these teams every day. While you want to be as objective as possible, I got news for you. My goal as a sports talk show host, and maybe you're hearing me for the first time on 95.7 The Game, I have two goals on the air as a sports talk show host. I want to have fun, and I want to tell the truth. That's it. Those are the two goals that I have. And as a writer, I know a lot of these guys. I've worked in this business for a while. Most of these guys, their mission is to be as objective as possible, to be as truthful as possible, and not to let any personal feelings or anything of that nature creep into their writing. Having said that, we are all human, and at times, it does have the potential to go there, especially if you think a guy is maybe on his way out the door, maybe he hasn't treated you very well. I know a lot of writers disagree with me on this fact, but I'll stick to it. I think what hurts Barry Bonds in a lot of respects, as far as his Hall of Fame desires, is he was never very good to people. And now people don't feel very compelled to be good to him. That's just kind of how it works. It's the essence of human nature. Give love, get love. I wanted to get to a little bit of sound from NBA All-Star Weekend. And so much has been made of Kevin Durant and his pending free agency, potentially, should he decide to opt out. And he had the little blow up at the media the other night. And hey, sometimes guys just need to get a little something off their chest. And so be it. It's one of those situations where it's not, to me, necessarily about what happened. It's about how do you move on from it. And I think KD's done a nice job. In a lot of the same ways, it's like what happened with Kevin Durant and Draymond in L.A. earlier this year. Obviously, that's on a much bigger level, but same thing. Sometimes guys have moments. A couple of grown men knock heads. It's not so much that you have a disagreement or that you have some funk. It's what do you do in the aftermath? Do you let it unravel you? Do you let it define you? Or do you take it as a learning experience and you move on? Kevin Durant, to that end, I think for the rest of this season, probably gonna really think about what kind of message he wants to put out there when he does speak to the media, because he knows everything he says gets magnified and gets twisted around. Me, I like to just take words at face value. And honestly, I don't really take athletes' sound bites in general as some type of holy gospel, because they're just people talking. And really, just like when you have athletes on sports talk shows, they don't always tend to be the best interviews, because what's their upside of telling you anything? If they say anything positive, okay, great. You view them in a nice light for a second. If they say anything that could be even perceived as remotely controversial or that could be interpreted in a couple of different ways, then we just go off on these tangents and twist everything around and make them out to be the villain and the boat rocker. And so it's like, what's the upside? You remember in the movie Bull Durham, learn your cliches, you know, just trying to help the team, God willing, you know, we'll help win one ball game at a time. I mean, other than that, what is your motivation as an athlete to talk to the media? I totally understand that. When the only upside for them is maybe a moment where you look like a decent guy, as opposed to anything that you say that somebody might not like could be used against you for the duration. What is your motivation? So here was Kevin Durant talking to the media. This is, to me, how Kevin Durant should handle everything going forward.
I don't believe that I'm better than anyone, but I don't believe nobody's better than me.
There you go. I don't believe I'm better than anybody. I don't believe anybody's better than me. Hey, KD, how about that three-point contest last night? I don't believe I'm better than anybody. I don't believe anybody's better than me. Hey, KD, how about free agency?
I don't believe that I'm better than anyone, but I don't believe nobody's better than me.
Okay, all right. What about the Porzingis trade, KD? What do you think about that?
I don't believe that I'm better than anyone, but I don't believe nobody's better than me.
Boom. There you go. And if I know it's annoying for people that cover the teams to, you know, if you don't give them something to a morsel to chew on and digest. So what? That's not your job. Yeah, part of the requirement is to, quote unquote, talk to the media. Give them the Marshawn Lynch treatment. Give them the Bill Belichick treatment. You know why people don't really ask Bill Belichick a whole hell of a lot? Because they know he's not going to give them anything. You know why Bill Belichick doesn't care about the media? He's too busy worrying about winning his next Lombardi trophy. And for Kevin Durant, you'd hope that he's more concerned about winning a third Larry O'Brien trophy. And by the way, just to kind of put a bow on the KD thing for today anyway, if Kevin Durant leaves this offseason, Warriors fans, especially if the Warriors win a third title this year and Kevin Durant plays a huge part in it, do not revile this guy. Think about Chris Gatling. Think about Billy Owens. Think about Bob Sura. Think about a Donald Foyle. Okay? Think about Troy Murphy. Think about Jason Richardson. Think about the years and years that this team couldn't even sniff a playoff berth, much less a conference finals, much less an NBA finals, much less a freaking Larry O'Brien trophy. And this guy could potentially go 3 for 3, could give you the hat trick, and somehow that would make him the bad guy? Come on. You're better than that, Warriors fans, right? Right? All right. Klay Thompson, who, by the way, I talked earlier about guys being so acutely aware of their legacies and, you know, kind of where they stand in history. This is pretty good. From the 510, Klay's place in history, his picture is on the new Oakland Library cards. They've never had any picks, not even any dead presidents, but now they've got Klay Thompson. So congratulations, Klay Thompson. You're on the Oaktown Library card. That's a big win, my friend, and what a special moment for Klay. And by the way, with it being Michael Jordan's birthday, Klay Thompson talking to reporters, of course, MJ, widely regarded as the GOAT, if you will, in NBA history. So Klay was asked in honor of MJ's birthday, Klay, what are you the GOAT at?
My favorite MJ story is probably just Space Jam. I love that movie. The movie is timeless. It's top three for sure. It came out, I'm a 90s baby, so it came out at a great time.
Thank you. That's all right. Klay on Space. We got Klay. We got the right Klay one. All right, fire away. Go ahead.
God, I don't know what I'm going to go to. I got to think about that. Probably just living my best life.
Thank you. See, and you know what? That would be my prediction, by the way. What's Klay the best at? I don't know. Gorgeous women, walking Rocco, draining threes, being clutch, living in a nice chill crib, never getting too high or too low, being Steve Kerr routinely said, the easiest guy to coach that he's ever had, being the key cog on a championship wheel, you know, things like that. Oh, yeah, being a multimillionaire, being beloved, people throwing rose petals at my feet like I'm Eddie Murphy and Coming to America. Or King Joffrey Joffer, if you will. Edward James almost. No. James, come on, Darth Vader. You're killing me. James Earl Jones, thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Every now and again I'm like bouncing it around in my head. He's freaking Darth Vader. He's freaking King Joffrey Joffer. James Earl Jones. Thank you very much. All right. We got to do it, right? I mean, back by popular demand. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in producer Lucas Alexander, and let's play Puff Puff Pass. Ooh, I don't quite have the intro built yet, but just bring that down just a little bit for me. Thank you. I got Daniel Barrera on the other side of the glass as well. All right, Lucas, I've had more people reach out to me on Twitter. That's perfect. More people reach out to me on Twitter and text me the last couple of weeks. They say, yo, you're going to 95.7 The Game. We're fired up. You're bringing Puff Puff Pass, right? I'm like, come on, man. You know it. So the way this game is played, I will let young Lucas Alexander here give me a bevy of topics. These have not been pre-rehearsed. He is producing the show today. And I will either buy them or sell them. I will puff on them or pass. See what we did there, Lucas?
Interesting.
Hey, I know, right? This blows your mind. See, it's funny. I call it a game show. It's not really a game show. There's no prize. There's no point.
Very chill game show.
Yeah, it's just laid back. Just a sesh with a couple of buddies, you know, in the gondola, maybe riding up to take some lifts on a snowboard run or something at Squaw, you know? Just hanging out or maybe parked in a
Is that a thing, a gondola?
Yeah, well, it's the gondola, but they call it the gondola. Like my buddies went to Squaw Valley Academy. So maybe we're pulled over in a parking lot somewhere, hotboxing, you know. Sure. Just having a little fun. It's time for Puff Puff Pass. What do you got, young fella?
Well, let's hear from Klay Thompson. We played the wrong bite earlier. Here's him talking about his favorite Michael Jordan moment. It is Michael Jordan's birthday today. This is what he had to say about his favorite Michael Jordan moment over his career.
My favorite MJ story is probably just Space Jam. I love that movie. The movie is timeless. It's top three for sure. It came out, I'm a 90s baby, so it came out at a great time.
Space Jam.
Okay.
The best basketball movie of all time. Puff, puff. Are you puffing or are you passing?
I got to pass on Space Jam being the greatest basketball movie of all time. I think most people would probably go Hoosiers because of just what it meant and the significance. Remember Blue Chips with Shaq back in the day and Nick Nolte? Yeah, that movie was awful. You got Above the Rim. Pac was in that. I will always be a white man can't jump guy. When I was a kid, I snuck into the movie theater to go see that because Rosie Perez showed the goodies in that movie. And that's what I remember as a kid. And the Stookie brothers were trying to get him. And who couldn't empathize with Woody Harrelson, the degenerate who finally wins the big tournament money. They beat the king in the duck.
Yep.
And then he tried to dunk and he couldn't do it. And shout out Joe Harris, by the way. White man might not be able to jump, but they can hit the three, baby. And so he handled it last night. So hard pass on Space Jam being the greatest basketball movie ever. Big time puff on White Men Can't Jump. What say you?
I think Space Jam is right there for me. It is up at the top. Were you young enough to appreciate Like Mike? With Lil Romeo?
No. Get out of here.
Was
with
a little
that.
Bow Wow. I don't know.
Great Whatever. Movie. Oh, it sounds like a real winner since you don't even know who was freaking in it.
Here's Steph saying answering the same question.
I'm a little salty. Probably loving basketball. Yeah. I'm a romantic at heart, bro.
You a loving basketball guy?
Nah. I've seen parts of it. I've never actually sat down and watched the whole thing. I tried. I couldn't do it. I turned it off. Like so many things in life, though, Lucas, my philosophy is always to each his own. I would never want to infringe on another man's good time. So Space Jam for Clay, loving basketball for Steph, it's all good. You love Little Romeo, Little Bow Wow, whoever the hell you're talking about in there.
Space Jam.
All right. Little Wayne, whatever, man. Little Brittle, who cares?
Lil Wayne wouldn't strike me as a very good actor.
You don't think?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
He can barely play himself. Ryan, are you a big soccer guy? How do you feel about soccer?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, football, the beautiful game. First of all, one of my many gigs is I work for the San Jose Earthquakes.
I do some
little pregame on-field stuff. I do a halftime hit. I work for their digital department.
Okay.
I talk to fans before the game, Avaya Stadium, always a good time. And I also happen to be a massive Liverpool FC fan. Shout out, top of the Premier League, up the Reds, baby. And actually, about a year and a half ago, I went to Anfield in the UK, and I went and saw Liverpool play. It's also part of my sports fan resume to go experience soccer across the pond. I went and saw Liverpool play 3 games, twice at Anfield. It was a beautiful thing. I'm a huge Liverpool fan, and yes, a huge soccer fan. Oh, yeah, and I'm nasty on the sticks, too, baby. You could get me on FIFA, you could get this work.
I don't think you want to see me on the sticks.
We shall see.
So, to answer the question, yes, you're a soccer guy.
Hard puff.
Okay. Third Division Italian Soccer Club today, Pro Piacenza.
Great pronunciation, by
the way. Did you see this?
Go ahead.
They lost 20 to nothing.
20 to nil. That's all right.
20 to nil today. Some details on this match. They only fielded 7 players. That's the minimum number of guys that you need to play a game. They were managed by their captain, who's only 17 years old. This all because their regular players and their regular coaching staff currently on strike for not being paid enough. Mercy rule in professional sports. Are you puffing or are you passing on a mercy rule?
Nah, gotta pass, man. The key word there is professional sports. Now, hopefully professional courtesy will come in at some point, and maybe the other team would ease off the accelerator and take their foot off the proverbial jugular. But the other side of that is it's professional sports. And I don't know if you heard this story. Mike Piazza and his wife bought an Italian soccer club a couple years ago in the third division, and it was a mitigated disaster. I will tell you this. They don't play in Europe and especially in Italy when it comes to their football. And the way that these teams and the amount of local pride and the amount of civic importance and responsibility that these clubs have to their native soils, it's on a whole nother level. I mean, we got great fans here in the Bay, but it is literally their lives over there. And it's a lot of times, you know, these guys, they take it next level. Sometimes I think they take it a little too far, but mercy rules, no chance. It's pro sports. This is the big boy league, straight up.
Well, not only is it their whole lives, but American sports fans, we have, 5 different sports, 5 different favorite teams to direct our attention and our fandom towards. They have soccer.
That's it.
Like 100% of their attention, their heart is there.
Yeah.
So I love that.
And it's a whole nother world over there. I'll tell you, when I was in the UK, just, you know, even something as simple as like looking at the newspaper, the London Telegraph, whatever the hell it's called, everything, front page stuff, it's all about the football. And then you open up the inside, it's just one page after another of massive stories. And I think with the Premier League getting the contract on NBC, I know folks in the Bay Area see a lot more Premier League than they used to over the years. And to me, what spurred my passion, I played soccer as a kid. Don't worry, I won't spend segments talking about soccer because I know that doesn't move the needle for a lot of sports fans out there. But I will tell you this. What happened for me was I was playing FIFA a lot over the years. After playing soccer as a kid, I loved the game. And then I just kind of fell in love with Liverpool, man. And that's been my team for about the last 6 years. And I got to tell you, if I'm power ranking passion for me right now, Liverpool's right near the top of the list, by the
way.
Shout out, top of the Premier League.
Was that Luis Suarez who got you hooked?
No, it was more Philip Coutinho and Steven Gerrard even before that. Big Gerrard guy.
Of course.
Yeah, he was the man.
Okay, let's move on. This weekend, Elon Musk, you familiar with Elon Musk?
Yes, I have the internet.
Said that he is, quote, confident moving to Mars.
Are you familiar with Elon Musk?
Are you familiar
with President Trump?
Heard of him. That one day, so moving to Mars, will one day cost less than $500,000 and maybe even cost below $100,000. He said the cost of moving to Mars will be, quote, low enough that most people in advanced economies could sell their home on Earth and move to Mars if they want. Any interest in seeing what life on Mars is all about? You puffing or passing?
I will puff on visiting Mars. Mars, to me, is very intriguing. I love astronomy. I love the idea of space travel. I love the idea of us going to Europa and seeing if there's life there. I love going on the outer stretches of the galaxy, seeing how far we can explore. It's human nature to answer the ultimate question. Are we, in fact, alone? I think there's no way in hell. The universe is way too big.
Yep.
And the key components to create life are too prevalent. Just even here in our own solar system, it'd be ludicrous to think that those same elements aren't available and aren't readily apparent in other places in the galaxy. Now, there's a difference to me between life and intelligent life. There's a difference between microbacteria on a faraway planet in the waters of the moon of Europa, my favorite of Jupiter's moons, versus being flying saucers rolling in and people invading our planet,
right,
a la Independence Day. Now, Elon Musk, he's a doer to me, okay? He's a guy that actually has gone out there. He's not a talker, he's a walker, you know what I'm saying? So I'll puff on most things that Elon Musk says. Me personally, don't need to go live on Mars. I mean, it'd be cool to check out the sunset. Just watched The Martian the other day. Poor Matt Damon gets stranded out there. Matt Damon. And so thankfully, he gets rescued. Sorry if you haven't seen it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I haven't
thank
seen
you.
It yet.
My bad. Spoiler alert.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's only been out 5 years. Get on it, bro. And by the way, I could tell you how The Godfather ends, too, if you want to know that. But to that end, I would love to maybe go and visit planet Mars. But as far as making my residence, and by the way, I got Knuckles, man. What Knuckles going to be able to go out and mark his territory on Mars? Nah, man, what, I'm going to give him a little doggy spacesuit?
I mean, if you can go, why can't you bring your dog?
Yeah, but I just think Knuck, he doesn't like the rain. He doesn't do well in foreign climates. So
dog is Knuckles?
Yeah, he's a little rad terrier, a little 10-pounder. He's daddy's little soldier. He's doing his thing. He's a rescue. I'm a hero. It's no big deal. But no, he's a good boy. I would love to go explore Mars, maybe spend a couple of weeks there.
Yeah.
To me, it's like the Cayman Islands. Love to go there and party for a couple of weeks, or maybe down to Mexico to Puerto Vallarta, or even to the UK to go see Liverpool play. But the only place I'm interested in living is the Yay area, baby. I'll puff on that all day.
I don't know if you know this. It'd be a 7-month trip.
That's all.
So you'd take 7 months to go, hang out for a couple weeks, and then come right back?
I mean, maybe we might give it a month, you know, maybe two. I mean, at some point, though, you're like, okay, so let's see. We saw where they landed the rover. We saw the dunes. I mean, do they have a golf course there? Do they have professional sports teams? Does my PS4 work at Mars? Are there girls there? Is there a club there? I mean, what are we doing? It's like, so you're here. That's great. Now what?
It's the Wild West, baby. You're starting over.
Yeah, okay. You're starting over in a place that you can't just roll outside and take a breath. So to me, that's a problem. And, of course, dude, I watched the movie Total Recall, and not the trash-ass remake. I'm talking about the original.
Okay.
I saw what happens if you get exposed in the elements in Mars. Your face will... And it's all bad, dude. It's all bad. You don't want that.
I don't think you want that.
No.
Next. We've heard from some Warrior players. Now let's hear. This is Danny Green interviewing Bradley Beal yesterday.
Okay.
Hey, Brad. How you doing, man? Welcome to All-Star Weekend. Congratulations, first off. Danny Green here, TSN. I heard you changed your son's name to Batmo. Is that true?
My son's name is not Batmo.
Oh,
I thought about it.
That would have been awesome. Batmobile would have been epic.
Batmobile.
Hard pass. Come on, man. You got to be better to your kids. All these people today naming their kids all these random names, Gage and Leaf, and God knows what else people are naming kids. Now, I'm not all about naming your kid Mike or Tom. I mean, with all due respect to the great Mike Urban, who's coming up with Rick Tittle in a matter of moments. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay with pivoting away from the traditional names. But just in general, I think we might take this just a little bit too far. And keep in mind, that's for life.
Like, you want some creativity, not too much.
Yeah, let's not go over the top with this. Don't want make the defining characteristic of your essence, of your being, to be your name, right? I mean, you can do better than that.
Yeah. Players interviewing other players. Peers interviewing other peers. You puffing or passing on that?
I'll puff on that. If it's in a setting like this and it's kind of fun, we see this every now and again. No doubt. All-Star Weekend. Look, I told you my premise is on sports talk. Have fun, tell the truth, right? Why do we love sports? It's fun. It's an escape from the mundane nature of our normal lives. We get to pivot away from politics and sad stories and things that upset us. This whole passion, this whole world of sports is the adult toy aisle. Not that adult toy aisle. I'm talking about fun and excitement and reprieves from the hardships of day-to-day life. So this stuff is supposed to be fun. And athletes having a little fun, especially at All-Star Weekend, hell yeah, I'll puff on that. That's what I'm all about, having fun.
Okay, one more. A couple days ago, the Los Angeles Times named In-N-Out's French fries the worst in fast food.
Okay.
You puffing or passing on that?
I'll pass on them being the worst. They're not my favorite. I mean, everybody knows McDonald's has the best fries. I will tell you this, just a little background on me. I've dropped about 45 pounds in the last 4 months.
I haven't been
eating a lot of fast food. Yeah, it was getting pretty out of hand for a while. On October 25th, I weighed 243 pounds. I weighed myself this morning, and I weighed 195. So, actually, I'm getting close to 50 pounds now. So,
good for you, man.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't say that to say, oh, look at me, throw some rose petals at my feet. I say that to give a little context. I have experience eating fast food fries. Don't let me ever be one of those guys that scoffs at people that, oh, how could you eat that gross food? I've done it. We've all done it. But if I'm power ranking fries, it's like McDonald's fries, and then there's basically everybody else.
Jack in the Box curly fries.
Curly fries, I'll give you, but I can't eat like a whole box of curly fries. I'll eat like
Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
How about this? You want me to blow your mind right now?
Oh, boy.
I have never eaten Chick-fil-A once in my life. True story. You know why? And I work out at 24 Hour Fitness in Walnut Creek. And you know what 24 Hour Fitness in Walnut Creek shares in their parking lot?
I'm going to guess Chick-fil-A.
Correct. And what a cold piece of game that is.
Yeah.
Where I got to roll out of the gym. I've just spent an hour on the elliptical. I burned 900 calories. I'm sweating like a pig over here. I'm hungry as all get out. And then I roll outside. And what do I got to smell?
I know.
Beautiful grilled chicken, right?
Motivation
fried chicken.
On your way in, though.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And you see the people parked. Like, I'm trying to park to get to the gym. It's limited parking. And I'm seeing people parked in random spots, you know, basically food shaming, just eating in their car. And, like, hopefully nobody's looking at them, just stuffing their faces.
That is a sad existence.
It is. It is. And thankfully, I was able to break free of those constraints. And now I think that I am better than everybody else. I was lying a minute ago when I said I don't think that I'm better than people. I absolutely think that I am. Actually, I know that I am because, you know, I'm not eating that crap anymore. No, but in all seriousness, McDonald's fries, you know what? I'll give you a sleeper.
Yeah.
I roll a little bit with Wendy's fries. I don't mind the Wendy's Biggie fries. Now, when they get cold, they're awful. How about this?
Well, you could say that about any fast food French fry, right? When they get cold, they're awful.
True.
Any French fry, really, period.
I'll give you a little little trick.
Sure.
Dip your Wendy's fries into Wendy's chocolate shake.
Oh, you...
Absolutely. You're frosty.
The frosty.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
I can't do that.
Don't knock it till you tried it, my man.
I've tried it.
You have tried it?
It's fine.
Well, hey, and as I've said
earlier... But then your frosty gets all salty, right?
Well, you don't. Maybe you pour a little on the side, like a little dipping sauce, right?
Okay.
And then you go that route. Have you ever seen anybody eating fries with a fork?
Unless they're like animal-style fries.
Yeah.
It's the only way I could... Now, people do that regular French fries with a fork?
I've seen it.
Just to save their fingertips from being salty and greasy?
And I'm a napkin-aholic. If I ever eat pizza, I have a stack of napkins. And I'm all about protecting Mother Earth and not being wasteful, etc. But there's some things that I got to draw a line in the sand and that are absolutely non-negotiable. And to me, having a plethora of napkins and a bucket of ranch dressing when I eat pizza, that's mandatory.
You know, same.
I didn't eat a slice of pizza for 3 months. It was, that first slice, it was so good.
Where was it from? The first time you had pizza in a couple months, where did you get it from?
I got a slice from Signore's, and it was bomb. Mm-hmm. It was. And the Signore's on 19th Ave, by the way, not the one on DeViz, and definitely not the one in Berkeley. The one on 19th Ave, where the girls are kind of rude, I love that one. I want a bitchy, prissy girl serving me up my pizza. And you get that at the Signore's 19th Ave, 100%. Shout out SF State in the house. Go Gators.
Couple other French fries that were listed among McDonald's with their favorites. Five Guys, which is overrated in my opinion. Del Taco French fries?
No chance.
Are you familiar with Del Taco
French fries? I've had them, but no chance.
Steak and Shake? Never had Steak and Shake.
Never had Steak and Shake.
Burger King's trash.
McDonald's is the best. Jack in the Box a little overrated. You got to go curly fries if you are going to go Jack in the Box fries. But I can't, like I said, I can't eat a whole box of them, just a couple of them. And then I'm like, okay, we're done with those.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was pretty much Puff Puff Pass. I'll leave you with this parting thought. Team LeBron, 6-point favorite tonight.
Ooh. All right. Well, let's look at the rosters, guys. The tail of the tape, how they stack up. You know what? I think I'd probably go with Team LeBron. As they were drafting the teams, I felt like LeBron was getting the edge as far as star power, et cetera. And that's the advantage of going first. I mean, I just felt like he constructed his roster a better way. I mean, look at this. Durant, Kyrie, Kawhi, James Harden. Dude, he's got Anthony Davis coming off the bench, okay? Now, we know Anthony Davis is injured right now, though, right?
He's not playing,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that official?
I haven't heard one way or another. To be honest, I'm a little bit on Anthony Davis fatigue, I think, for some obvious reasons. I think a lot of people out there are on Anthony Davis fatigue. All right, that was good stuff, man. A little puff, puff, pass action. And shout out Lucas Alexander and, of course, Daniel Barrera on the other side of the glass. A lot of fun today, man. And what I've got coming up is I'll be on with Daryl the Guru Johnson, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Matt Steinmetz is on a little vacation for a couple days, so I'm very happy and excited to fill in. Let's see, 408 says Wingstop fries. All right. And let's see, 510 wants He Got Game with Ray Allen. Yeah, a lot of people checking in with He Got Game. A couple of pounding the drum for Love and Basketball. And then I also mentioned to Warriors fans that if KD does decide to leave, especially if he helps deliver you a third NBA title, don't hate on that man. And let's see, 510 says, I won't hate on KD, just won't care to follow him anymore. And you know what, my man? That is your right. Oh, yeah, good one from the 650. You give him the Rasheed Wallace. The Rasheed Wallace. Both teams played hard. That's all Kevin Durant's got to do. Both teams played hard, taking it one game at a time, just trying to help the ball club. God willing, we're just going to win some ball games, and hopefully it'll all work out in the end. I mean, that's the name of the game, right? All right. Good stuff. Had a lot of fun today. First solo show in the books. Shout out to John Dickinson. Had a lot of fun with you yesterday. And again, thank you so much. And I realize I'm not accepting an award right now. I just wanted to reiterate my love and respect for everybody here at 95.7 The Game that's reached out to me and all the people in the business, media members, professionals, and of course, listeners, friends, fans, and the like. It's meant the world to me, and I'm so excited to be a part of the movement over here at 95.7. The next chapter of my career is all ahead of me, and I just couldn't be more enthralled. And by the way, shout out to my family, my parents, my sister, Lizzie, everybody, my best friend Nick, all my boys from high school. Everybody's just been so good to me, and I just love and appreciate all of you. Thanks to Anthony Slater, who joined us, Carrie Crowley of the Bay Area News Group, who joined us as well, and David Lombardi. I'll be back on 10 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you so much to Lucas and Daniel on the other side of the glass. Nice work, fellas. We did it. We made it. It was a four-hour sojourn. Thanks to Matt Nahegan and Danny Freisinger for the opportunity as well. I'll be on 10 a.m. tomorrow. In the meantime, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you to just be good to each other. This is 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM. And HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Coming up next, Michael Urban and Rick Tittle. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody. I got Team LeBron. They're going to win by 10+. You heard it here first. We'll talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.